Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. We will finally get what we've all been waiting for. Big Ten After Dark, baby. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the next commissioner of the Big 12. Good luck, Brett Yormark. Hope it goes better for you than it did for George Klyvkov. And with me, as always, is AJ, USC Beach Volleyball greater than Alabama College Football, Marchese.
Big Ten couldn't land the big fish, Rob. It's still a piss-poor conference, in my opinion.
There's a lot of clout that comes with USC Beach Volleyball, and you can't just spend a day winning over that sport, even if you destroy a whole conference. Today, we're kicking off our 2023 NFL Draft Summer Scouting Series with the non-FBS prospects. Let's hit it.
Seven
rounds in heaven with my baby. Driving out to KC, maybe. Looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's going to wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's going to put ketchup on a stick?
Who's going to find a steal in the fifth? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of Seven Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink, spelled like sports drink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying to not let the funk out or the stink out, but we did. Big Stinky got drafted 19th overall. He was a non-FBS prospect.
Wow.
Who's the next Big Stinky?
Got any first-round grades today, Rob?
Yeah, several.
Several, yeah. One of them's going to hit.
That's what I've learned is just lean into it. Who cares? No one's going to remember what I say today I'm correct. Do you want a fun stat regarding non-FBS prospects?
Yeah, Rob, I would love to hear a fun stat regarding non-FBS prospects.
Okay. First, I want you to guess how many non-FBS prospects are drafted in the 2022 NFL draft.
12.
Wrong. 25.
Really? That's good. Good work, non-FBS.
And more specifically, 20 FCS, 5 D2. But kind of the shocking thing is 2021, there was only 9. And in 2020, there was also only 9.
I remember on last year's episode, we were like, this is a good year for FCS. It's going to top that number. I remember we did that.
Wow. Smart.
I might just be lying.
Well, like, because the 2021 one makes sense because of the impact of COVID. Yeah. Like, they'd have less information on those guys. Because at first, I got the 25 for 2022. I was like, oh. And then 9 for 21. I was like, well, I guess 2020 will kind of
look like
give
20.
Us the truth.
Yeah.
And then it didn't. It didn't, AJ. Is that non-FBS? Are football players getting better at each level?
Yes, they are.
I don't know.
You watching the CFL game? It's looking good. Every league is better.
I'm only seeing former Maction stars in the CFL game. I'm watching Deacon Rourke. But before we go through the positions, how many guys today do you truly think get drafted? that you watch. Obviously, we didn't want, like, there's going to be guys who emerge throughout the process, but did you think this was a good group as a whole, or
it's a fun group, but I think we're hovering back around that, like, you know, 20 number.
Yeah, I wanted to add the 25 thing. I think a lot of that had to do with the extra year of eligibility.
Yeah.
Because I also found, like, half the guys we watched for today's show were 6th-year guys.
Yeah, lots of 6th-year guys are at the very worst 5th-year guys.
Yeah, it was very rare that there was, like, a true senior.
Wasn't a lot of, like so we Rob just puts a list together and we watch it. Wasn't a lot of bad football players.
No, I thought overall, like, although they're, like, obviously not all draftable, there was no one who is, oh, why am I bothering watching this guy type
thing. We usually do get, but...
Yeah, like, it felt like less of a slog, like, working through it, being like, oh, God, here's another one. It felt like every guy I feel like I watched has a shot to sign undrafted.
Yeah, for the most part. No, I agree. Now, I don't have any, like, day two grades or day one grades, but there's a couple guys that have a shot.
I think for sure. I thought the offensive line group was really good. We'll get to that. Mm. I think the trench play in general is kind of the most interesting. There's a lot of South Dakota State guys this year, and obviously the normal amount of North Dakota State guys. No, it'll be interesting, especially because, I mean, North Dakota State's had Trey Lance 2 years ago, Christian Watson last year. I feel like someone's going to emerge.
Probably.
South Dakota State, yeah, I just, like, couldn't believe. And they obviously just had their quarterback drafted, but their spring season quarterback, Mark, what's his name? Gronkowski? Gronkowski?
One of Gruinsky? The two. Yeah, Gruinsky. It's maybe, like, a combo.
South Dakota State might be better than North Dakota State this year.
Ooh, I mean, save that for your pick for the champ.
That's FCS talk, AJ. But first, as we dive into this quarterback group, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how things play out for Shepherd quarterback Tyson Bagon?
Baguette?
There hasn't been, I did some research, there hasn't been a Division II quarterback drafted since JT O'Sullivan.
Ooh.
In, like, 2004.
Legend.
Do you think Tyson here could break that?
He's not bad, eh? Like,
He isn't. And apparently, before JT Daniels transferred to West Virginia, they were trying to get him.
I saw that, because I was, you know, searching him up, and I was like, is this guy, like, he's just like a West Virginia hero, apparently.
Yeah.
No, like, he's 6'3", 215. Like, he's put together well. Really nice touch balls, like, good poise, good timing. I don't know if he, like, he's a great athlete, but, like, he sees the field well. I don't know if the arm is quite NFL. I can see him in the CFL, though.
I don't think he has the arm for the CFL. Certainly does for the NFL. I did feel at times with him, it did get a little boring in that offense. It's kind of aerated in that. It's a lot of, like, mesh. It's a lot of quick ball out of his hand throws.
Yeah.
But when you got him in scenarios where they were playing fast and they were trying to score in a hurry and they kind of let it loose a little bit more, I thought his poisonous touch really shone then.
Yep.
And like you said, like, not an incredible arm. I think there's enough arm there, specifically because he does have that touch. He can put the ball between a linebacker and a safety down the seam. It's so hard to tell because like, I'm watching him carve up Kutztown.
Okay, well, that's a program right there. But whatever.
Yeah, so it's just like he's picking on a bunch of future bankers. I don't really know. I wish he did jump up, but he did win the Harlan Hill Trophy last year. He threw for exactly 5,000 yards, I think, and 53 touchdowns. He's going to be an interesting one. Ultimately, I don't – like, to me, at that level, I think to really get yourself drafted, it's goes beyond the numbers. Like, he if he was 6'5 and ran a 4.65 and, like, then maybe, but – I don't know. I have a hard time wrapping my head around a Division II quarterback getting drafted in today's day and age.
I feel like you got to look like Josh Allen if you're at that level. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like you just have to be the best athlete on the field. Like, if have a cannon of an arm type thing.
And he's more just like a, like if you made the jump, maybe like a Bailey Zappi, like not to the extent. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good comparison. And that's why I feel like you kind of have to make that leap these days.
If I blame JT
at least Daniels. To the FCS.
Yeah, I know.
It's just, yeah, it's tough. It's, especially because it's a quarterback. Like if he was a different position, dominating the way he was, it would matter, I think, a lot less. But it's just, it's hard to get a handle on it. But ultimately, like, I do think he is going to be signed to an NFL team next year.
Like in camp somewhere? That's
yeah, funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind. He was like you said, just a lot more interesting than I expected when I threw his tape on too.
Not a lot of big FCS quarterback names this year, eh?
Doesn't seem like it. No, we had a pretty short list. No Eric Berriere this year.
I just wanted to add that Kennesaw State Xavier Shepherd. I only put him on the list. They run the triple option strictly because he's an incredible athlete.
You know what? Before I watched him, I didn't know he's a triple option guy. I'm like, oh, this is what we're doing. Okay, like I looked at his stats first. Like, okay. Runs it really efficiently.
I just think that, I mean, like, when you're that athletic, at the level, maybe you can be a wide receiver.
He could bring home the Walter Payton.
Are you calling your shot?
No, I'm not. It's not my pick.
He should have transferred to Georgia Tech if they still ran the triple.
I know. Like,
they should run the triple again.
They really should, yeah. I feel like he's good enough. The arm's okay. Like he's not bad.
He's good enough for the NFL?
Yeah, if they ran the triple option.
Ah.
When Belichick finally goes full triple option and kicks Mac out, he's his guy, I think.
All right, let's get into the running back group.
Fun group here. Not a deep group, but that's a good group.
It is a good group. I think. I have a draftable grade here.
Yeah, I have one and like a guy that I think probably could, yeah.
Who's your one?
I got Isaiah Davis number one, but I liked him last year too.
South Dakota State's Isaiah Davis, 2 years in a row, South Dakota State could have the best FCS running back coming off Pierre Strong.
Last year, I think I said he's better than Pierre Strong.
And you're wrong.
And I'm wrong, but that's okay. But he's bigger. You got to give him that. He's 6'1", 220. He runs like no one's ever run more upright in the world, but it fucking works.
He just breaks every tackle.
Yeah.
He's such a throwback. He has 6'1", 220, kind of upright style, but ridiculous contact balance, really physical, kind of looks for contact.
But like a smooth runner too.
I was going to say, he's got some good quickness to him. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see him take on that number one role, because last year, Strong ran for like 1,600 yards, so you gotta assume like Davis is gonna get a lot more touches this year.
Yeah, he's had like what, back to back 800 yards ish seasons.
Yeah, so in 17 career games, he's run for 1,500 and 17 touchdowns, 8 per carry. He kind of emerged in the spring season.
Yeah, then he had the big touchdown run, remember?
Yeah, and then kind of took more of a backseat last year to Strong, but. Yeah, I don't know. At that size, with that physicality, like he looked like a day three type back. I'd love to see him be more involved on passing downs.
Yeah.
But he's a really interesting player just because the contact balance, it seems so natural.
If he ran lower, like I feel like he'd be just such a fucking wrecking ball.
A truck.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like at that level, he doesn't seem to need to.
No, he doesn't need to. He's fine.
I wish he would. Hopefully we kind of see... The other thing, too, he's like one of the rare guys on this list who's not a sixth-year senior.
Yeah, true junior.
Yeah, so he might not, like, realistically, probably won't come out.
Yeah, no, that's true. He'll stay for 3 more years. also, like, but, like, for, like, a guy that, like, you know, 6'1", 220, playing at the FCS, you think, like, you know, he's just going to rely on his athleticism and size. But, like, I found, like, the patience and vision to be really impressive with him, too.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked because I like obviously I'd seen South Dakota State play before. I thought he'd just be kind of like slam into the line, pick up what I can pick up, break a tackle. Like, he's not the same type of one-cut style that Pierre Strong is, but I do think I kind of didn't realize how much closer he is to being, like, a fundamentally sound back.
Yeah, no, for sure. Again, like with Pierre Strong, I like to see him get involved in the passing game. But that's remains to be seen. But, you know, I like Davis a lot.
Who's your number two here?
I got the other Isaiah Ifeanyi from Montana State.
One of the best running backs in the FCS for a couple years now. Yeah. He to me, is kind of closer to that Pierre Strong type of back.
Yeah.
Where he plays bigger than he is, just 5'10", 202.
He's, like, well put together, though.
Yeah, that's like he was picking up yards between the tackles because he is so shifty in tight quarters. Yeah. Like, I really loved his quickness, solid vision too, and contact balance. It felt like he could run into a crowd. It should be a 3-yard gain. He'd get you 7. He'd, like, run over some people too. Like, a little more powerful than I was expecting at that size. He's another guy. If he gets more opportunities, his pass catching is so important for these types of guys.
I saw some nice catches though. Like, not they a lot just of don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just want to see them use him more in that regard.
Yeah. He had one grab where, like, he really had to adjust for it. It was thrown behind him and he took a hit and brought it in. Like, that looked pretty good. But yeah, like, he's so slippery. Like, he's got that, like, you know, he's got that running style where his like feet are almost like outside of his frame. You know what I mean? And, like,
mm-hmm.
It just lets him get so slashy and slippery. I think he's really interesting. Like, I think he's kind of like a potential late day three kind of dude.
Yeah, I don't think he's as nearly as good as Pierre Strong per se, but I think he could have that kind of Pierre Strong type rise.
Yeah.
And that's like Strong, his pass blocking is really, I think, what got the people going. Yeah,
Infant's a very good pass protector right now.
Exactly. I was about to say, seeing him improve in that facet of the game would be so big.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like him, though.
But fun player.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, big time. I threw the North Dakota State fullback in here, Hunter Lipke.
I feel like that's more appropriate. I like Lipke, man. I like him.
If you like Peyton Hillis, you're going to love Hunter Lipke.
He basically is Peyton Hillis. If you want to draft a fullback, I think he's going to get drafted.
I want to say with both him and Southern Illinois' Javon Williams, who's – I don't even know what position
he's
you want to call
him. He's fun as hell. That's it.
They're both like the – if you're going to bring a fullback in, this is kind of the modern fullback type thing, but they're different. Lipke's more of a true running back. Williams is a Swiss Army knife. I think you get the most out of him as an H-back. But Lipke, like, legitimately gets carries.
Yeah, he had, like, 543 yards last year. Lined up at running back, like, and tight end. Like, he looked pretty good as just a tight end. Like, pretty good after the catch. He got legit, like, juiced to him. Was it the James Madison game? They just kept feeding him on the wheel, and it was really good. Like, I thought, like, pass protection really good. Lipke's, like, pretty interesting.
The Kyle, someone's going to sell themselves on him being Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah, 100%.
Javon
Williams, though, is just Javon Williams.
Javon Williams, so he was a high school quarterback, came to Southern Illinois, kind of just his specifically been a Wildcat quarterback, mm-hmm. like a lot of the time.
Throwing the ball a lot, too. Like,
yeah, like he's a change of pace quarterback, essentially, who also plays some running back and he's 6'2", 245. I don't really know what he is, but I find him so interesting.
He's fun. He's a lot of fun. I don't know if he's that big, but he's physical as hell. Like, that's for sure. I don't know. And, like, pretty decent, like, receiving production, too, for a guy that plays all over the place. He's definitely interesting. And, like, the Salukis just keep, like, putting in athletes, man.
I wonder, like, it's weird because he ran for 1,000 yards as a sophomore, mm-hmm. and 17 touchdowns. Like, if they can get him more touches, he just does things.
He's fun.
I don't know.
He's fun.
He is fun. I love him. You want to jump to the receivers?
Yeah, let's make the jump here, Rob.
Who's your number one? Very productive group, by the way.
I think, like, as a late day three potential, Xavier Gibson from SFA has got a chance here.
So when I was watching him, I started thinking about the Samford receiver.
Montrell Washington.
Montrell Washington.
Me too. Yeah.
And how the Broncos took him, what was it, the fifth round?
Yeah, I think it was.
And he kind of, to me, seemed like, oh, he could be this class's Montrell Washington.
100% agree. And that's like, I'm like, he's on this, like, you know, it's, he had 74 catches, for almost 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns. And used in the same way. Like, he's got that instant juice after the catch, right? And he's killing angles also, at that level. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought he did a really good job just finding holes in coverage and kind of sitting down. And, like, kind of being that just a true, like, he can make those explosive plays, but he can be a true chain mover type.
Yeah, too. Like, you run him in the slot and just, like, crossing routes, really good feel there. And, like, just, like, it seemed like lots of, like, third and fourth down short yardage, like, you know, three or four yards. Just super reliable on the little slants and little ends just to move the chains. And, like, that stuff will keep you on the field in the NFL. Now, I think, like, his hands aren't superb. He's struggling when he's catching outside his frame, and his frame is small. But, like, put all that together with the athleticism and what he can do actually as a route runner, that's a day three guy.
Do you have a draftable on him?
Yeah, like a seventh. Okay. Yeah, I got a seventh.
I don't. I really need to see him do a better job catching football.
Yeah.
I also want to see them, like, I think the potential is there for him as a route runner, but they don't have him do a whole lot.
They don't.
And so that kind of, until I see him do it, I don't want to just project an FCS guy being able to do that at the NFL level.
That's fair. I just keep coming back to Washington. You know what I mean?
And now Washington, I don't think he's as juiced up as Washington.
That's fair.
Though.
That's fair. That's fair.
Until
we see him killing Florida. You know what I mean?
That Texas Tech had some trouble with him.
Hold on. It's Texas Tech. They had big trouble with him.
Texas Tech's, like, big marquee recruit under Joey McGuire just flipped to Ohio State today.
I don't like that.
And it was after, like, I read, like, three puff pieces about how Joey McGuire is changing Texas
Tyler Tech. Shug is winning the Heisman, though, so it's all good.
Yeah. So, Gibson's not my wide receiver one. He is, for the non-FBS, it's Jackson Jank.
Yonke,
whatever.
I think he could be a late round guy too.
No, I'm all in. This is the second highest grade I've handed out.
Ever.
6'3", 210. Guy who can play inside or outside. They play him in slot and as a true X. Yeah. Punt returner too. I think he just has incredible hands. Really smooth route runner. Does a good job through his routes too. But he's not a great athlete.
But he's got like a loose lower body for his size.
Yeah, like he can when you watch him run like a post corner for example, like he'll sell it so well, and he doesn't lose speed selling it. Like, the hips just rotate well.
Yep.
He gets into his breaks well. I find him, like, all right, I'll say, yeah, like, this is Cooper Kupp. FCS number 10, 6'3".
Do you want me to really sell you on him?
Yeah.
He's studying to be a gym teacher.
Oh, my. What's his brother studying to be?
I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't like that they're both receivers. That threw me off when I was watching him.
I evaluated them as one person.
I saw.
I think his brother's faster than him, though.
Yeah, probably. I saw a couple drops, like, in traffic with Yonke, but no, he's good. I think, like, he's got a chance to be a late round guy with that frame and that, like you said, the kind of the loose body.
He's probably going to be the first guy Jim Nagy accepts his Senior Bowl invite.
That's a good pick.
That's a bump somehow.
You know what? You know what I kind of thought was pretty interesting.
Who?
Don't know how to say his name, but Andre. He is from Princeton.
So my takeaway with him was, like, he doesn't know how to play football, but he looks like he'd be really good at it.
Yeah, because
I think he catches the ball really well.
Yeah, I don't remember what game it was, but he had, like, a really sick, like just dunk on someone. He's 6'3", 200. He's a track athlete.
Strong catch radius. Yeah. And like, they don't have him, like, running a ton of different routes, but he runs his routes well.
Yeah,
it's kind of just like go balls and curls.
Yeah, which is it can get you. It got Simi Fehogo drafted. That's my comp.
True. Yeah, no, he He's the type of guy where I threw it on. Like, it didn't take long for me to figure out which wide receiver was the NFL prospect.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because he looks like he's got the build. He's clearly athletic. And, yeah, I thought he caught the ball really well. Yeah. Really good hand catcher.
Yeah, still on the track team at Princeton. I didn't appreciate that, of all schools, Princeton couldn't have the little pronunciation thing on their website. By the way, I love when schools do that. And Princeton couldn't do it? Fuck off, Princeton.
I love when schools do that, and it's like the guy's last name is Davis.
And the player saying it, like Jordan Davis. Like, you know, it's such a useless thing. No, I thought he's interesting. Like, I think he's a true junior. So just that athletic profile, that pedigree of Princeton, the birthplace of football, kind of. That's a name to keep an eye on.
And then Avante Cox from Southern Illinois, who's a Wyoming transfer. I swear they only get him the ball on screens and, like, motion quick throws to the flats. They just try to get him the ball in space all the time.
He's a tough yak guy.
Yeah, he's good. He's kind of fun.
He's like a get-her-done dude. That's how I kind of feel about him.
I respect that they just force-feed him the ball. The tight end group's very interesting.
That's sick.
The FCS is a good rib for tight ends, as it turns out.
I think the top guy gotta be Tucker Kraft.
Yeah, it was Dallas Goedert too.
He pretty much 6'5", 255, junior. Smooth mover, man. I was really impressed with how well he moves. Like they're hitting him up on screens and he's just yakking it up and both, like, powerful and, like, getting to the outside and getting yards up the sideline. He's just, like, fucking put together so well. He's built like a tank. Did you see the one where they put him on a QB sneak? A sneaky QB sneak. Get the first down on, like, a 3rd-and-3.
Yep.
I like that. Tucker Kraft is really interesting. He might be, like, the top guy on offense here. Well, first skill position dudes.
It was nice, too, that he's not, like, there's a couple tight ends here who have NFL talent, but they have, like, they get, like, 200 receiving yards on the season.
Yeah. Correct.
They actually get him the ball. Yeah. Because he is that talented. He does a good job after the catch, too. Like, there's a couple times where guys can't tackle him because he's so big and so athletic. He's smooth. He's also not one of the older guys, too, which is always a plus. Like, he's a redshirt junior. That's a plus. I appreciate, too, like, he'll play inline. He plays some H-back. He'll line up out wide at slot. Like, he moves around, too. I think he, like, I don't have a day two grade on him or anything, but would I be surprised if he ends up
– Yeah.
Being one of the kind of viewed as one of the top tight ends? No.
Like, if he was in last year's class, would you have been shocked if he was, like, tight end one? Like, after the whole, you know what I mean? Like, just.
Well, no, cause I would have been, because Jelani Woods was always tight end one.
That's a good point. No, he's, I totally agree. Like, I think he's a mid day three guy right now. But no, I could definitely see that day two jump there.
Who's your second tight end? Because I thought Kraft was pretty clearly the first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my guy here, McCallum and Castles.
Okay, we align.
Perfectly, because Cal of the transfer. Name, baby. What a name. Yeah, Transfer. I thought that's cool. Like, he's 6'5", 240. He's lean.
He is lean. He I thought, was, like, his flexibility is kind of pick the ball up off the ground, go up and get it. Just really big catch radius. Does a really good body control, too.
Some yak in there, too. Like, fluid mover, like you kind of said there.
Good athlete. I think gives you a lot less in line than Kraft does. But
yeah, he's just, like, in the way blocker. He's not getting his ass kicked, at least, though. Like, so I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of highlights, too. Just throw on the highlight tape, lots of really badass catches.
Yeah, he's fun.
He's fun. He's good. Like, again, you worry about the frame, probably, but that's another guy. He's a redshirt junior, so he's got time there, too.
Who's your third?
After that, I kind of go back to San Diego State. Wow, South Dakota State. I like Hines as just a pure blocking tight end.
Him and Gindorf from North Dakota State. I think that's what you're getting with both. They're both big frames.
Yeah,
they're both not used all that much in the passing game.
When Hines is, like, I guess both of them, when they're both throwing the ball, they catch it.
Yeah. They I think Hines has more upside as a pass catcher.
Yeah.
I think Gindorf's more of that, like, true, I'm just going to be a tight end three for my career and block really well. Yeah,
because he's 6'6", 266. Like, he's just built like a brick there.
I wonder what Hines would do if he wasn't sharing the tight end duties with Kraft.
It'd be interesting.
Like, Yeah, but both those guys, I think, what they do, yeah, like Kraft is a do it all tight end. Hines is and Hines has that frame where like he's 6'7", he could add like 20 pounds.
Yeah, no, he definitely could. He's listed at 250, but no, he could get bigger. And like he's not gonna lose speed either because he's still kind of like he's pretty like you know just like a baby deer running. He's not that balanced or anything, but he's But when he catches the ball, he looks like he's got no problem with it, you know? Like, when he's asked to catch it, he's good.
Agreed. And I kind of, like, Gindorf, same idea.
I feel like we've been watching Gindorf for Gindorf 5 years.
Forever. Yeah. Amen.
Just tired of him. I'm tired of him. He does his job well, and I'm sick of him.
And then there's the Furman tight end who's, like, 220.
Yeah, he moves well.
He moves well. Yeah, he does. He'd be a great CFL receiver.
Ryan Miller would be a great goalie, am I right, Rob?
Yeah, you try to find his tape, you're just watching Sabres games. The offensive line group I liked.
It was a good group. Couple draftables for me. A couple fifth-round grades I threw on there specifically.
Yeah, was the fifth round, the sweet round for FCS.
Yeah, it's just like it's me being scared of giving them better grades, but that's why. Yeah. Who's your top guy?
My top guy in the whole damn thing, Cody Mock.
I kind of like putting him in McClendon Curtis side by side.
I got Mock by a mile as my number one non-FBS prospect.
I think Curtis was just more like just a big old shit disturber. I don't know, I liked him. Anyways, yeah, they're both huge. Good. They're both really good.
Mock, North Dakota State left tackle, six-year senior, 6'6", 303. I just couldn't get over how well he moves, how quickly he gets off the snap, climbs the linebacker, and just runs him out off the screen. Yeah. He puts people in the dirt. He is such a good zone run blocker. He's got a ways to go in pass protection where he's just kind of relying on his being big and athletic. Yeah.
His footwork gets a lot of work, yeah.
Yeah, his footwork's his biggest issue, and like, he gets kind of lungy and it narrow. Doesn't matter because he's just so much better than whoever's up against him. Like when he has a bad rep, like it doesn't impact the play almost.
Yeah.
So I want to see him kind of clean up those feet, play with a stronger frame. You mentioned him getting narrow and his hands can shoot wide too in pass pro. But what he does in the run game is just so enticing to me. And then I kind of, my thought was, should I way overrate this guy? And I said, it doesn't really matter. No one's going to remember.
No, it's smart. It's a good call.
I got him fucking third round, baby. It's my guy.
Are you kicking him inside or you keeping him at tackle? I hate talking about this in the summer, but I'm just asking.
I would like to kick him inside.
I thought the same thing, yeah.
Just because it's pass, bro. It's his feet. Like, I think you can hide those things.
No, but I think you nailed it. Like, that punch is powerful. Oh, he's got like that mauling power to him, and then he gets out on you. I saw like a really nice skip pull like in front as a lead blocker, you know, and then putting the guy right onto the bench. I'm like, yeah, that's a hell of a block. Like, if he gets onto a guy on the second level, he finishes, and you don't see that very often with a lot of college offensive linemen because they just don't have the athletic chops for it. But you know, when he's like, you could tell he's one of the better athletes on the field, especially for size, right? So no, I think Mock's got the highest potential here for sure. McClendon Curtis is just a big boy, and he's a mock, baby. Mock up. I couldn't not put him as my top. I think they're both really good. Six-year senior, that scares me a little bit, but he's 6'6", 328, and he's got that big boy frame. He's got that big-time frame, and he's got that big-time power.
I couldn't believe how well he pulls at that size.
Yeah, like I think there's like an average athlete, but for that big boy, that's good, especially for an FCS prospect.
He just moves really efficiently for a –
yeah.
Man as wide as he is.
Yeah, like I think like he plays high, but like still can kind of get leverage just from his power, that makes any sense. And like just constantly moving dudes, clearing holes, powerful puller.
Similar to Mock, where he can rely so much on his athleticism to hide flaws, like Curtis can hide because he's just so much bigger and stronger than everyone.
Yeah.
Like I want to see him, like, and obviously you're projecting him into a power run scheme, like that's what he does. But in terms of pass protection, like his feet are a little iffy. I wonder how he would handle a true three tech speed, like Aaron Donald lining up against you. Obviously, that's like
an exaggeration.
The worst case, but like
at the Senior Bowl, maybe
handling that type of speed, I'd really love to see how he kind of would stymie that.
Pretty good anchor though, I thought, in pass pro.
Yeah. Once he's got you. Mm-hmm. Like, and he doesn't get tested very much because he's so strong and just latches on to you.
It's harder with offensive linemen sometimes at this level.
Yeah, quarterbacks and O-line.
Yeah. Do you have any other draftable guys?
I like Greenfield from South Dakota State.
He's my next guy. I don't have a draftable, but I can see that.
I was getting Max Mitchell vibes while I was watching him, actually.
Yeah, it's I like that. Undersized, but tall still.
Yeah, tall, lean, moves well. His best ability is getting to the second level in the run game.
Yes.
Two things. I wish he had a little more nasty to him. I wish sometimes he doesn't kind of finish through the whistle and he can struggle to sustain. He kind of walls guys off rather than...
He's got hold-up strength, not move strength. Yeah.
Yeah. And that also impacts him in pass pro, where I think the best way to beat him is to go through him. Like, his anchor needs improvement because he plays kind of high and he's not the strongest guy in the world or the heftiest. But I just really like the way he moves so naturally to that second level. I fall in love with offensive linemen who can move like this. And I think there's a lot of potential there for him to be kind of a late day three guy.
Yeah, I think what it hurts him is just like he's light in the pants. Like, he's got to just build up that lower half. Because he's pretty well built, though.
Yeah, it's funny because him and Mock like aren't that different in size, but
Mock just so
on paper,
powerful.
but it, like in play, it seems very different.
So I think Greenfield's got like the upper body strength, like not anything to like, you know, like, oh my god, what a trait, but like just effective, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I think adding the sand to the pants, but no, like I like that Mitchell kind of vibes because he just feels like he's not gonna ruin anything. He moves really well, but in pass protection, he's just kind of like, just in the run game, that he's going to just, you know, do his job and not get an obliterator. I don't know. He's just a solid dude.
Who's your, did you, one, I couldn't find any tape on Quincy University, so I have no takes on BJ Wilson.
I honestly, I don't remember what it was that I watched, but I watched something from a couple years ago. He's big. He's 6'6", 320. He's big. He plays like just straight out of his stance. Like, straight. I've never seen anyone that straight. but
it's okay.
But it's hard. It's hard to. He's just so much bigger than his competition. He's just really in. Yeah, I don't know. But like, he's got like a narrow lower half too. Kind of interesting for his size. I thought some fluidity there. Nothing to get too excited about. But I did think Mike Edwards, another big old monster.
I like Mike Edwards.
Yeah, there's something there. He's 6'7", 355. He's at the Campbell's. Yeah, go ahead.
Wake Forest transfer. Yeah, he's at Campbell. He's so big.
He's thick from head to toe. That's what I really like.
He's just washing everyone up out of the play. He's a finisher, too. He's an asshole. He doesn't move all that well.
No.
But he doesn't have to at the level. I don't know. He's so damn big and so powerful. He's fun at minimum.
Yeah, he's super fun. Like, his feet need a lot of work, and like you said, doesn't move that well. But like, you know, the length kind of helps with the outside rush at times. But yeah, just with the size, he just beats up dudes at that level.
The Ravens are gonna sign him undrafted, and he's gonna be the perfect swing tackle.
There you go. I like it.
You want to flip to the defensive side of the ball?
Sure. Go for it.
Let's start. We'll just do D line as a whole because there wasn't a ton.
No one really like popped out to me that like this is a draftable dude. But there's like some interesting dudes.
There's guys who I think could. I don't have any draftables.
Yeah.
There's one guy who I really think could take a leap.
Is it the Bama transfer that was one of the top?
Yeah.
Yeah. top.
Iyabi Anoma, the only guy who's built like an NFL player already.
Yeah. Yeah, 6'6", 270.
Yeah, from UT Martin, was the number 4 overall recruit in the 2018 class. Went to Bama, played as a freshman, like actually played. Yeah. Academics got kicked off the team. Went to Houston. Academics got kicked off the team. Is at UT Martin now. Hadn't played football in like 2.5 years. Won the Missouri-Ohio Big Sky Valley Conference Newcomer of the Year Award.
The most coveted trophy in all the land.
So he had 6 sacks and 9.5 TFLs last year at 6'6", 270. It's obvious when you throw it on that he's the NFL player on the field.
Yeah.
Because he looks like he should be in the NFL right now. Yeah. He has a crazy get-off. He plays pretty damn hard. I just want to, like, he hadn't played football in so long, and he showed up at the FCS level and looked that good. I'm really excited for what he could be with another year under his belt.
He right now he feels like dollar star Gregory Rousseau.
Oh, I like that.
Like, there's, like, not a lot of technique there or anything.
There is just purely I am 270 and really athletic, and you guys aren't. I was recruited to Bama, and you guys aren't. I don't know how to use my hands. It doesn't matter. I will win.
Like, it felt like you're watching a dude's high school tape. Like, you know what I mean? Where, like, he looks like he hasn't, like, he's not developed yet. Maybe he's at a small, whatever. You know what I mean? It doesn't look like he had a year of Bama coaching. And like you said, he was away from football for multiple years. So, but irregardless, that's clearly the guy here.
Yeah, he's a fun one. And, like, I know it's his third school. Like, that's obviously, like, red flag. But I don't know. It was for academics. I personally don't think the NFL
cares. You don't go there to play school.
Yeah, Cardale Jones said it best.
Yeah.
And I just keep coming back to, as a true freshman, Nick Saban was getting this guy on the field.
Yeah.
That means something.
What was, like, the number three prospect? Recruit?
Number four. Yeah, 5-star, baby. Who do you have after him on the D-line?
I think from pure production, I kind of like Land.
So the thing with Land is, if he was 30 pounds heavier even.
He's listed at 215. I feel like he's got to be a little heavier than that, though, right?
If he's 215, like, I thought he looks 230. Like, he looks slim, but he doesn't look that slim.
It's just probably old number. You know how it is. FCS is probably just not updating. Like,
yeah. So Florida A&M, I think, what do you have, 19 sacks last year?
Yeah.
He's the Will Anderson of the FCS.
He is.
And he's wearing the same number.
He is,
He's got big juice off the snap. He's bendy. He has a lot of hustle sacks.
He's got a really, really, really good motor.
Yeah. So the thing that just ultimately, like, okay, one, he's not going to do much in the run game, but that pass rush excitement that you get watching him, it just, is he only 215? Because then, like, that's not going to fly.
I feel like a lot of his sacks came from, you know, just effort plays.
They did.
Like, I don't think he's a draft.
But you do see that get off. You do see that dip. The bend, the dip. There's not a lot of hands work there.
You do see, like, just, like, he's a really good athlete. And, like, that shows up in the run where he's just, you know, kind of, like, not even stacking and not shedding, but just, you know, keeping a guy away from his frame and then making tackles in the run. You know what I mean? Like, just using the athleticism. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean,
he's well, like his proportions are pretty good. Like, he's 6'4", but, like, you feel the length, I think. Like, he's pretty long.
Yeah. If he can be at the Senior Bowl at 240, like, I think that would do wonders for him.
I mean, 19 sacks is nothing to you know, that's something to write home about. It's 19 sacks. Let's see when he gets to this year.
Yeah. BJ Thompson and Stephen F. Austin's a guy I heard some stuff about. Like, positive stuff.
You know, I couldn't find measurement or just height or weight from this.
So I found 6'6", 220, and he looks 6'6",
220. He does look, yeah.
He is long and lean. Wired.
Yeah, Baylor transfer.
And oh, I didn't even get that info. He's a Baylor transfer?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah. I found, like, a Baylor page for him, at least, according to ESPN.
Okay. It is kind of sad, pathetic how shittily the FCS stuff's tracked.
It really is, yeah.
He is just a pure long athlete. I didn't think he, like, had, like, he has zero idea what he's doing.
He gets stalled at contact every single time.
like if he doesn't beat you off the snap, he's and very athletic. And I can see reasons to be excited about his potential, but, like, I think Isaiah Land's a way, way more interesting version of what he's doing.
Pretty much, but, like, yeah, he's got the traits. The traits are kind of there.
So it's funny. Anoma's 270. These other guys are 220 and 250.
Do you think Anoma's that big?
He's at least 255. He's 255. Like, he's big.
He's big. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if he's
probably 6'5", 255.
Yeah, which is...
which looks a lot bigger than both of you guys do.
It is. On the inside, I didn't mind Devonta Maxwell. I'm just going to keep pounding the mocks, baby.
Yeah, so Maxwell after Onoma and Land, Maxwell's my third guy on the D-line.
Yeah, me too.
6'3", 296. That's pretty good. Well built. Yep. Quick. He can shoot gaps. They kind of play him as a 5-tech, 4-eye type of player. He doesn't get a ton of opportunity necessarily to shoot gaps in the backfield, but when he does, like, it works.
Nice swing.
He gets some hustle sacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought really good motor.
Yeah, he's another guy who...
6 years.
Like, I could see Onoma, Land, and Maxwell being Senior Bowl guys.
Yeah. No, I don't mind that. I think that's a good call.
Actually, Land's definitely going to be at the East-West Shrine.
I feel like Florida A&M is just a pipeline for the East-West Shrine, baby.
Yeah, amen. Also, lots of transfers. Jesus Gibbs of Townsend's South Carolina transfer. We already touched on Thompson and Onoma.
Wait, with Gibbs, did I read right that he plays both ways?
What?
Does Gibbs play both ways?
No, Jim Nagy listed him wrong, so I did.
Oh, I swear to God, though, I read on, like, the Townsend page. Like, he was recruited as a tackle.
Yeah, but he plays D-tackle.
He just plays D-tackle, He's okay.
Yeah. Anyone else you want to talk about on D-line?
Not really. Like, Wagey's Notre Dame State's coming off the ACL.
Yeah.
He's pretty well put together. I didn't see much in Caleb Murphy.
Whoa, the Ferris State stud?
No. But if we can move to linebacker, there's a dude, baby.
Oh, I did want to touch. I didn't add two guys to the list, but I did want to mention two Texas transfers are in the FCS now. One of them's Ayodele Adeyemi, the Texas linebacker. Do you remember him?
I do remember him, yeah.
He's at Sac State now.
Oh, well, that's sick. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so just something to keep in mind. But the Fordham linebacker, is that who you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. Ryan Greenoggin, baby. Just...
making every tackle.
He had 31 tackles against Nebraska, which is...
Did you watch that?
Yeah, I watched it.
That was fun, eh?
It was a lot of fun. He's just an old school linebacker. Like, he's 6'1", 245. I love him, man.
Ryan Greenhagen would have been the greatest Big Ten linebacker 45 years ago and been a first-round pick.
Yeah, he would have been to Penn State, 100%. 100%.
Yo, big time.
He's just old school thumper. Like, he's well put together. The instincts are there. Like, stacking and shedding blocks. Like, just... Like, I think one time they tried to cut him, and he's like, not happening. He keeps his feet. I'm like, that's awesome. Not really explosive, and like the I feel like the top speed downhill's okay, but he's not doing anything outside of the box really.
He's gonna play special teams.
I wrote here it might not be the Giants' special teams captain this time next year.
Yeah, okay. Which means he'll probably be their starting middle linebacker as well.
That's true.
I was gonna say I don't know what level he's playing special teams at, like NFL, CFL, USFL, but
he's too
XFL.
Big for the CFL. Yeah.
He's going to be an XFL Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I like that.
It's the Rock's first signing.
I like him.
But, like, literally just blows everything up. Pretty good instinct. Yeah. The stack and shed, shockingly good. Aggressive as hell. Just, yeah, not a great athlete. I don't know what you do on passing downs, but.
Like,
he's a Rock. Yeah. He also, like, looks insane.
Oh, yeah.
Like, his pad levels, like physically, the pads are super high. And he just, like, looks juiced up.
He's awesome. No, this is my guy.
Yeah.
Special teams linebacker, baby.
Do you like any of the DBs?
I kind of feel like Justin Ford is interesting in Montana.
Yeah.
Like the frame.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, and he looks like a Seahawks, old school Seahawks.
Yeah, old school.
He's also, I don't know what Golden West is, but I assume it's a junior college.
Yeah, JUCO.
So he transferred from Golden West to Louisville to Montana. Had 9 interceptions at Montana last year. 6'2", 190, 6-year redshirt senior. Just like he looks similar to what I was saying about Onoma. Like he looks like an NFL player on the field.
Yeah.
Like he's just big and he moves well. I liked him a lot as like a cover three, cover one guy. Press zones kind of where he looked his best. Flips his hips pretty well.
Yeah.
Finds the ball.
Feet are pretty decent for the size.
Yeah. For a bigger guy. Find the ball kind of is always just around him. Hence the 9 picks.
Yeah.
Physical enough as a tackler.
Yeah,
I think he's really interesting.
Yeah, I like him.
The defensive guys weren't as good as the offensive guys as a whole, though.
No, I didn't mind Anthony Adams from Portland State.
The vibe I got from Anthony Adams was like, this guy's going to sign undrafted to the Bills and like play.
That's interesting. Like, I watched the Washington State game.
Yeah.
had a really great interception there on the goal line where he just
In the end zone.
Yeah, it was really nice.
So him, whereas like Ford looks like an NFL player, Adams doesn't per se, but he got good instincts. Seems like a smart football player.
Yeah, he might be a safety at the next level.
Yeah.
I think Portland State's got him listed there, but he plays corner. It's kind of weird. No, I didn't think he was bad. Anyone else you liked here?
I like Ferlando Jordan, the southeastern Louisiana corner.
Your dude.
He's kind of just a physical press man guy. Mm-hmm. Ford, I thought press zone. Adams, I like kind of off. Yeah. I like what you say about safety. Like he just like let him trust his eyes and use his instincts. And then Jordan's just, I think press man. He just bullies people and he fights for the football. He's kind of a fun player.
Pretty solid. Pretty fun FCS group.
Benny Sapp, the son of other Benny Sapp at Northern Iowa. I just wanted to say he's the son of the NFL's Benny Sapp.
I forgot about Benny Sapp.
Father. Also, the other Texas player that transferred to the FCS is BJ Foster's at Sam Houston State now.
That's a big guy for Sam Houston, baby.
That's what I thought. and one more name, Darian McKenzie of Merrimack College. Couldn't find anything.
Yeah, me either.
But if you can, world, maybe he's good. I don't know. I thought kind of the offense was a lot more exciting than defense.
Agreed.
Anoma got me the most excited. I like Ford. Ford's my top-rated defensive guy. But Anoma, I'm just going to bang the table for him. Land and Greenhagen were fun. I think both have a chance to be at, like, the East-West Shrine game, maybe.
Yeah, I agree. Especially if Land has another, like, big sack season. Like, he's going to get himself to one of those games.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little bit bigger, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have any draftable grades on the defense?
Yeah, Ford. Just Ford.
Okay. Late day three?
Yeah, late day three. Noma first round. I watched his high school tape.
He's got the highest potential, clearly, but yeah. Greenhagen's my guy. That's it. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Before we get out of here, we'll run the awards, and then our town of the week. That's why the people listen. Who do you think wins the FCS this year?
I'm gonna go with my Jackrabbits. It's finally their year.
I think North Dakota State beats them.
Not again! Like, come on, they gotta let them have it once.
I just like, I don't know. I can't. I think I picked Eastern Washington over Sam Houston last year. So
it's a good pick. I'm pretty sure I picked North Dakota State because you have to.
I just felt like I couldn't not pick them. But South Dakota State, I think, has more NFL talent than years past.
Yeah.
I think South Dakota State, like, they're not caught up, but they're getting there.
And I don't know if maybe this is fair. Like an FCS team losing a quarterback that got drafted, I don't know if a team's ever been in such good shape, you know what I mean? At quarterback.
Yeah, for real. Well, I mean, Ludicum wasn't supposed to start, I don't think.
Yeah. Because Mr. G got hurt, whatever. Yeah.
And good thing the Steelers said, let's draft the guy who wasn't supposed to start.
Hey, looking good at camp.
He's at his fourth school.
I don't know if you saw it today. He was looking good at camp, apparently.
I kind of theorize it. Like, they signed him to be a scout team quarterback. Because they're like, Mason Rudolph's our scout team quarterback. He can't move. Like, we play only mobile quarterbacks. Let's get a mobile quarterback.
Good. That's smart. I like that.
Thank you. That's how I've theorized it. Who do you think takes on the Walter Payton Player of the Year award?
I think I'm going to keep on going with my Jackson, go with Isaiah Davis.
I think it's got to be, specifically just because there's no like blatant quarterback. And again, in 17 games as a backup, he's 1,500 yards, 17 touchdowns, 8 per carry. Pierre Strong ran for 1,600 as a starter last year. Like, I think it's fair to assume Isaiah Davis runs for like 1,520 touchdowns.
Like, Pierre Strong might be a better, like, you know, runner, but Isaiah Davis is like, first of all, I think he's going to be better, but he's also just the better athlete, and he's bigger than a lot of people on the field, you know? Like,
Pierre Strong was a very fundamentally sound back, but Isaiah Davis has the traits.
Exactly, yeah.
Buck Buchanan Award, Defensive Player of the Year at the FCS level.
I'm going to keep it simple and go with the production of Isaiah Land.
I thought you were going to say Greenhagen. 300 tackle season.
I wish. If they play Nebraska every week, yes.
A Noma had 6 sacks, 9.5 TFLs after not playing football for 2.5 years. Yeah. Let's double those numbers and he takes home the Buck Buchanan.
Still not up to Lance 20 sacks. So.
If Ford has 9 interceptions again, it might be him.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
All right. The moment we've all been waiting for. Town of the week, baby. That's right. This is the part of the show where I pick a town from the schools we talk about, and I tell you why they're the town of the week and what to do when you're there. And this week, Brookings, South Dakota. Home to the South Dakota State Jackrabbits.
Great pick. That's the right pick.
They play at the Dana J. Dykehouse Stadium, which has 19,340-person capacity.
Love it. That's a right size for them.
Opened in 2016. And, of course, is named after Sioux Falls banker Dana Dykehouse, who just donated the most money to build it. South Dakota State, not a lot of notable alumni. I usually try to do, like, 2 sports and, like, a couple non-sports. They didn't have a whole lot going on outside of sports. So we got Jim Langer, the Dolphins Hall of Fame center. Adam Vinatieri.
Of course.
And the only other person I decided to write down was Erwin Gonzalez, who discovered lipoic acid. I don't know what that is, but...
I like it.
Discovered it.
Good work.
Notable people from Brookings. So again, not a lot to choose from. We do have Mean Gene Okerlund, the old WWF announcer.
That's
a great one. The drop-off was incredible after that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
So I had to go with 2 people who aren't real, but in TV shows, for some reason, they are said to have been from Brookings, South Dakota. And that is the character of Charles Percy on Grey's Anatomy. I don't know who that is. And Gus in the Netflix series Love.
Oh, really? That's cool. I don't remember them saying he's from Brookings. That's cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. And Charles from Grey's.
Big Paul Russ fan.
Russ from Brookings? Finally,
no, I guess not. Eh?
Finally, things to do in Brookings, if you're ever there.
All the time.
So the first thing on TripAdvisor is the Children's Museum of South Dakota. And what does that mean?
Is it a museum of children?
That's why the only reason I wrote it down was like, I think AJ might know what this is all about.
I think it's probably just like, you know, something for children to go and look at.
But like, so why are we marketing it as a museum?
Maybe they have old
one. Children probably don't like museums.
Look, they're trying to get people to Brookings, all right? Love can only put them on the map so much, all right?
Fair enough. We've also got the McCrory Gardens. I don't know what that means.
Beautiful.
Wooden Legs Brewing Company.
Okay,
there's a bunch of breweries, but that one sounded the coolest. South Dakota State Agricultural Heritage Museum. Oh, someone's shooting fireworks outside my house.
Happy Canada Day and 4th of July, everybody.
Splash Zone Water Park.
Okay, that sounds sick.
The Swiftel Center. I don't know what that is.
Me either.
And, of course, the South Dakota State University Dairy Sales Bar. So I don't know, like, can anyone bring their dairy and sell it there? Do you go there to order just a cup of dairy? Like, what is it? I don't know. You'll have to go to find out.
Do you see how, like, on home field they had, like, that shirt about Clemson's ice cream?
No.
I don't know. Clemson has, like, some famous ice cream, I guess.
First of all, you the wrong way?
We got to get South Dakota State for home field. I need a Jack shirt for sure. Second of all, I need that ice cream. What's it called? The dairy counter?
Yep.
I gotta get a dairy counter here.
So tune in next week. Are we going to do the G5 North or South next week? Your call.
Start with the South.
We'll start with the South, which is the Sun Belt and the Conference USA, featuring some independents who aren't.
Actually, we should probably start with the North because we got a holiday and it's probably not as much talent.
Oh, geez. Okay, shots fired. So tune in next week when we do the G5 North, which will be the Mountain West and the Maction.